Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. My name is DJ Wooldridge, and this is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, anything else we like to talk about. And with me, as always, is the remarkable Roxy Stryer.
I like remarkable.
Remarkable's good. Remarkable's good.
Yeah. I feel like remarkable. Like that.
Well, I'm always, if I'm being honest, I'm a sucker for alliteration. So I want to find like our...
Roxmarkable.
Yeah. See?
What I did there? I combined.
You combine them. Is that your superhero name? Roxmarkable?
Roxmarkable. Ooh, it'd be like if Meghan Markle and I got married. Roxmarkle.
I don't hate it.
Wow, Roxmarkle. Isn't
it Roxmarkle?
Well, I don't know how we got here, but I'm glad we did.
Some alternate reality. Some alternate, somewhere in the multiverse, that is a reality. As always, if you would like to watch this show live on Fridays at 10 a.m., you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Also, you can listen to the full audio podcast. There's different tiers. You get different things. But if you want to watch live, you want to see the video, you want to see those beautiful assets that I have to share with you, you can do that by watching it live or watching the video later. Also, if you listen to us on Spotify, we ask a question every week when I remember to post it, and we take your answers. So last week, we asked, who is your favorite Disney villain? William Niles Wilson said, Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog. I've not seen that movie. My wife and I are planning on watching it at some point because she likes it, and I've never seen it. Stormy Woods says Ursula. A lot of love for Ursula. I'm into it. And then Edward Espinal says classic Disney villain Scar. However, with Star Wars and Marvel in the mix, Thanos.
I think those are really good ones. Thanos, I never thought about as a Disney villain, but that's totally what's happening there. It's kind of like when people say their favorite Disney princess and they answer Princess Leia.
And you're like, I guess. And then you think about the Pixar stuff. So, like, do Pixar villains count?
Who is a Pixar villain?
Well, you've got Sid. You've got... You got the Toy Story ones. You got the teddy bear. A Hopper from Bug's Life is still actually pretty terrifying. My wife and I rewatched, but I hadn't seen Bug's Life since I was a kid, since I saw it in theaters. And we rewatched, and I was like, yeah, man, this movie's dark.
I really can't think of even my favorite ones. There are villains, but they're not the part of the movie. Like, I feel like in Disney animated movies, the villain is the Fang. Mm-hmm. In Pixar movies, it really is very hero focused.
Yeah, and I think something smart that Pixar usually does in some of their best movies, and I'm thinking of Inside Out, and I'm thinking of Toy Story, where your protagonist is also kind of your stealth antagonist, where like... In Woody and Toy Story. Animated. Yeah, like Woody and Toy Story and Joy and Inside Out. Like they're the one that actually create the problem, and then they have to like fix it, and then personal growth happens. Similar to this is a bit more of a stretch, but also kind of Up. The old man and Up kind of like creates. The actual antagonist is the person the guy he admires, the adventurer he wants to be.
But I to be like, my favorite villain is the grandpa and Op. I mean, that's just so not paying attention. But I think that Thanos definitely does count more than I think that he does at first glance.
Well, and if you're saying Marvel's Disney, I mean, Killmonger's in there. That's a pretty good one.
Good point, too. I mean, if we're doing all of that, then are you going to count Darth Vader?
Classic, iconic. Palpatine. You know, they bought Fox. Do the xenomorphs from Aliens count?
Do they? Does the merger itself count?
You know what? Again, it's hard for me to hate it because it gives me FX on Hulu. But anyway, so those...
Yeah, except for Pose. Except for Pose.
Although we're catching up. We're slowly catching up. We just did the episode where they've got to get Elektra's trunk.
Really good episode.
And it helps me, it's like, I really do like the Elektra-centric episodes because somehow they always involve a caper. Like whenever Elektra gets involved, it always kind of involves a caper, and I'm a sucker for that. And also I like, Elektra's a good example of like technically an antagonist for like a bulk of the series.
But
you can't hate her.
It is wild how this season they really are all about her being the original mother and mm-hmm. seeing the good parts of her being a mother, because we saw the bad parts of her being mother yeah. for so long. But she is a really, really layered character. One of the greats.
Yeah.
Really good.
Anyway, we're getting off track this week because
we are.
I know this show, we talk about whatever we want, so it's hard to get off track, but theoretically we are. This week is the release of Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It, aka Conjuring 3. And Roxy and I, right, I have not seen it. Have you not seen it yet?
No, I have not seen it either.
We have not seen it yet. I have been hearing not so good things, but what we're going to do is talk about ghosts. Because we know you kids at home love it when we talk about ghosts and cryptids and all that stuff. And I don't think you and I have had conversations about the supernatural.
No, I've done a lot of getting ghosted, but not a lot of talking about ghosts. So, I'm very ready for this.
You're there. You're in it. You're ready to go. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Before we do that, we're going to talk about what we're into. But before we do that, you're going to go to, if you're listening to it on iTunes, you're going to give us a 5-star review so that we can read it on the air. And as I've said before, you can say whatever you want in the body of the text, and I will read it out loud as long as then there's those 5 stars. So keep that in mind and go give us a 5-star review and say whatever you want. But let's go into Roxy and I saw F9 this week. Newly starring human action figure John Cena. And it's interesting to see him in what is more of a, I would think is meant to be a more serious role. But before we get into any of that, spoiler free, because obviously the movie doesn't come out for a while yet.
I don't know how I would spoil this movie anyway.
You know, that's a good point for a couple reasons. One, it is what it is. But also, a lot of the, if I had not to start with my critique, but one of my critiques is I think a lot of the big, like, reveals we know. They're in the trailers. Like, there wasn't, like, a big, like, But right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 68%, with the consensus being F9 sends the franchise hurling further over the top than ever. But director Justin Lin's knack for preposterous set pieces keeps the action humming. And the synopsis on IMDb is Cypher enlists the help of Jacob, Dom's younger brother, to take revenge on Dom and his team, which isn't accurate. That's actually not what the movie is, but all the people mentioned in there are in the movie and have relationships to each other that are vaguely similar to what is in there. And of course, it was directed by Justin Lin. It was written by Daniel Casey and Justin Lin, with a story by Alfred Botello. And of course, it's starring Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, Tyrese Gibson, Chris Ludacris Bridges, Natalie Emmanuel, Charlize Theron, and John Cena. And so, even though we both just said it's hard to spoil a movie like this, Roxy, what are your spoiler-free thoughts?
I mean, I think that this should have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I can't describe how much I loved this movie. But here is the thing. I don't have any idea what somebody was expecting to get out of this movie if it wasn't exactly what we got out of this movie.
Yeah.
I think I saw some tweet that was like, Justin Lin knows exactly how to make this kind of movie, and he does. This movie was action-packed. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like laugh out loud funny the whole time. There's one scene in which they're referencing another big piece of pop culture.
Yes.
That I was crying. I was laughing so hard because it is just so absurd. You think about the writer's room for this movie, which must have been like, that's fucking stupid. Throw it in there. And I think they said that like 50 times. I think this is the perfect summer blockbuster that kept continuing to say about like to itself, hold my beer. No, you hold my beer. No, just keep holding my beer. Like, it was just one-upping itself left and right. And I loved it. I loved the experience. I loved being back in the theater. All of that obviously makes me look at this with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
I loved watching this with a bunch of people who seemed like they were enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. And it was such an enjoyable experience. When you go to see a Fast movie, I'm not expecting to see an Oscar movie. I'm expecting to see exactly what they just showed me, which is something that made no sense. I mean, some of the things that they're able to do in here, but is self-aware enough to acknowledge how little sense it makes the whole time. And yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
I love this franchise. I actually just, with my wife, we just did a rewatch of all 8 movies. We weren't able to fit in Hobbs and Shaw before we saw this one. But we'd seen it previously. I've seen it. I've seen all of them. And so we went through the whole franchise leading up to this. And it's a, I love this franchise. It's a blast. It's crazy to see. And I do like, there's a little bit of the, in this movie too, that as crazy as things have gotten, there's always at least one scene that goes back to the street racing roots. That's like, hey, remember when all these people were just street racers in LA? Because it's insane at this point. And I will say, I don't know if this, I think my favorites in the franchise are probably Fast Five, which is the first movie with The Rock, and then Fast Seven, which is the first movie with Jason Statham. And I don't know that this cracks that echelon for me. We're now at the point that like each movie, there's like a different gimmick thing. Like the previous movie was the zombie cars. This movie is the, and it's in the trailers. This movie's the magnets. And I feel like this movie was more into the magnets than I was as an audience member.
I love the magnets. I love the magnets. They lose every time. I was like, yes.
Yeah, the magnets. Yeah. I think for me, what works best in this franchise, and I won't go into detail on this, but anytime there's like a character return or a character callback or some sort of like, there's a lot of little indulgent character turns. There's even a cameo from a character that has not been in any of these movies before, but they all treat it like she shows up for a scene and we all treat it like we've all known her and she's been a part of this movie, this franchise the whole time. And even that, like that stuff excites me more. And there's also that tangible, specifically with like the hand-to-hand fight scenes and even some of the more outlandish stuff, there's a dedication to practical effects work and practical stunts that it's cool that there's at least one franchise that still cares about that, like isn't still invested in doing that. But I do think at this point, when they say that, like, okay, the Fast saga is going to end with the 10th movie, it's like, yeah, that feels about right. I feel like we've got one more movie because I feel like I was telling my wife when we were leaving, there's like a dumb to fun quotient, whereas like the dumber the movies got, the more fun they became. But now we're at a point where they're continuing to get dumber, but not necessarily more fun.
We can't get much dumber.
Yeah, it's like we've kind of reached this. And what kind of our segue into this conversation was John Cena and the fact that he's a human action figure. And there's moments where it's not even meant to be a comedic beat, but he like gives a look and the whole audience erupts into laughing.
We erupted so many times.
And it's great, and it makes me even more excited for him in Suicide Squad playing a more overtly comic character.
Yeah.
Because I think that's kind of like his niche. I think he's really found that. But I'm excited to hear more people's thoughts about this movie. I really like that this franchise exists, and for me, this was the perfect. So for me, this was my it was The Quiet Place was your first one back.
Yes.
This was my first time back in theaters, and I can't imagine a better movie.
Welcome back.
Yeah, to go back to. Like this, it was a really cool, fun experience. There is, I want to say it's a mid-credits teaser. Stay tuned for that because it's a lot of fun.
Did you like that?
I did. I definitely recommend if you're vaccinated, if you're ready to go back into the theaters, this is a good one to go back to. It is the type of big blockbuster that it's a good movie to go back into theaters, and I'm very excited to and curious to see how they wrap up all the things or if wrap up anything. I don't know. So now let us go to what is supposed to be our main topic for today. First, I'm going to talk about my new comic, Hellbent. If you go to hellbentcomic.com, you can sign up to the pre-launch page, and please do that. I've been doing some posts, as you can see. So one of the things we're going to be packaging along with the comics are these tarot cards, these unique tarot cards created by CAP Ward.
That is so cool.
I'm very excited about it. And one of them, the devil card, will be available with all physical tiers, but only at launch. So you're going to want to be there day one. There's also another thing I haven't announced yet that will only be available at launch. So you're going to be there for that. There'll also be some of the tiers will be discounted during launch. So that's a good time to jump in. Also, very important to the patrons. Obviously, you guys have been big supporters of the show, big supporters of my work. And so there's going to be a couple extra perks just for patrons. But please, 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 please sign up to the pre-launch page. I've just announced the release date. It is June 15th is the launch of the campaign. So Tuesday, June 15th, please be there. Please be there day one. It's a huge thing for Kickstarters, any crowdfunding campaign. You want to have a good first couple of days. So please show up day one. We've got tiers running from $5 up. So please contribute to that. It would make me happy. And also it'll make you happy because the comic is dope. I just got some more pages from it from our artist Heather Vaughn, and they're really kick-ass, and I'm really proud of it. So
happy for you, DJ.
Thank you. I'll
be even more happy when it's very successful. Go support it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you get it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But let's talk about The Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It is hit on HBO Max, or it should be. I haven't checked. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about ghosts. You kids love ghosts. I know you do. So even though we're not going to be reviewing it, I did want to talk about how people are receiving Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's funny.
It's 6666. Oh, anyway. The Devil Made Me Do It represents a come down for the core Conjuring films, although Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson keep the audience invested. This outing is directed by Michael Chavez, who did La Llorona, and was written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, with a story by James Wan, who directed the previous entries. And of course, starring Patrick Wilson as Ed Warren and Vera Farmiga as Lorraine Warren. And I will say, I have not seen it yet. And I love the Conjuring movies, I think. And I even enjoy most of the spinoffs. I didn't see La Llorona, but I even like The Nun, which isn't very good, but I still liked it. I will say that the only thing that makes me slightly uncomfortable with the Conjuring movies is its relationship to real-life figures like Ed and Lorraine Warren, who, in my personal opinion, I don't know how to say it. I perceive them as kind of hucksters. and so a film franchise built around validating their stuff makes me a little. And the promotion for this movie, again, I have not seen it, but the promotion for this movie about them like doing a case where a person who's convicted of murder says that he was possessed by a demon, and that made him do it. And I'm like, ooh, this might be a bridge too far. This might be, if we're going to go back to a real murder and say like, but what if the devil? It's like, I don't know how comfortable.
But you have an issue with the premise in general.
Yeah. Like just that might be the part that may, you know, we talk a lot, Rox, about the things that like take you out of the movie. That might be something that keeps me from like
distracting.
But again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know how they navigate all that. And I am excited to see it because I really do like these movies. Rox, are you a fan of the Conjuring movies?
Yeah, enough. Not enough that I rushed to see this or reached out and was like dying to. And also not enough that with these reviews, I'm still very excited. I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
But I like horror in general. And so these just kind of like good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of how I feel. It's not like my diehard franchise, but good enough.
Yeah, I gotcha. So a big part of previous episodes of the show are talking about ghosts and cryptids and the supernatural and the unknown.
I love this.
But I don't think you've never been a part of those discussions. So I'm excited to dive into this with you. I know in a broader sense, you know, you've been pretty candid about being an atheist, right?
Yeah. Or at least agnostic, but yes, an atheist.
Yeah.
I don't think I believe, but you just never know.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I think that's like, Not to put this on anybody. I feel like that's where everybody should be, just a little bit of an agnostic, because you don't know. Like, you know, a lot of us don't know about a lot of things. So no matter what your core belief is, there should be a little agnosticism mixed in there because you don't know. What are your thoughts on ghosts?
I've definitely never had any kind of run-ins.
Well, that plays to STS 2084's questions. Have you had any ghost experiences? If not, would you want one?
I've never had any run-ins, at least to the best of my knowledge. I don't know. I love ghost things, like even anywhere from like Casper to what we see in like Harry Potter to the more spooky ghosts. But I've never had like a ghost experience. Like people are like, oh, this thing. I am somebody, though, who is so freaked out all the time. I check under the beds. I do behind the curtains. I look in my laundry machines every night before I go to bed. I like do a whole thing. I don't know if I'm looking for ghosts or what, but, you know, also just maybe like murderers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do like them a lot as a device and a concept because I have a lot of dead people in my life. And it would be really cool if there were ghosts in a positive form, but then I also hear that what a ghost is somebody who's like not at peace, so they're still here, so that would suck. Those are kind of my general thoughts. How do you feel about ghosts, DJ?
So, you know, I grew up in a more conservative Christian background, so ghosts were a big no-no in my community, not necessarily my household, but in my community.
No, like you don't believe in them, or like, get away from us, ghosts.
You don't believe in them. It's like you, once you die, you go to one of two to three places. You know what I mean? And that's, you don't get a call in that, or you don't get to stick around. I am interested in, I have had some, if through my life, I have some, had some strange spiritual related experiences. I don't know if I would associate any of them with ghosts, and I don't know if I'd associate with any of them with anything now. I am like we were talking about earlier, I'm a big believer in you don't know what you don't know. The universe is a big place, and the farthest we've sent some junk to Mars, but other than that, we haven't really left our own backyard. And so we don't know. And I think things like consciousness, what makes a person alive, are bigger questions that I don't think we've quite dialed in. I think we live in a culture that likes to think we have answers for everything because we have computers. We can look anything we want up on Google and we'll know. And I just don't think we're there yet. So I'm open to the idea of something, or even if you want to say like, because my wife is way into ghost stuff. One of our anniversaries, went with the Queen Mary and did the whole like 3 a.m. with the Geiger counter or whatever it is that's supposed to tell you. Yeah, the whole shebang. I'm even open to the idea of maybe if you want to add some credibility to these, that you're saying that these people just didn't make up these encounters. They might be seeing like an echo of the person. Maybe you're seen through to another reality. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you don't know what you don't know. I'm open to it. I don't know if I personally believe in ghosts specifically. But like you, I do think they're a very interesting narrative device. One, the aesthetic, the ghost, the spooky aesthetic is cool. I love going to Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
It's me too, so much.
It's
DJ.
Such a blast.
So fun. And so fun.
And narratively, it's a good way to deal up. Like when I had Raul Coley on talking about the haunting of Bly Manor, you know, it becomes a metaphor for dealing with your own past, the cultural past, all that sort of thing. And I think that that's really cool and interesting. Would I want a ghost encounter? You know what? Probably. Because there have been times in my life where I've been faced with an overwhelming fear of death. And the finality
of it.
That would help you? Yeah, like saying like, hey, it's not necessarily the end. Cool. Thanks, ghost. I appreciate it. But truthfully, I think even if you had that experience, you would have your brain, because this might be getting a little weird, but you know, people like to brush away different experiences because your brain looks for patterns. But I think that works the other way. If you ran into a ghost, because your brain looks for patterns, your brain would find a way to explain that away. If you were truly presented with something completely outside of your understanding of the way reality worked, your brain would find a way to compartmentalize that into something that you could understand, and you'd brush it off. So even if I had a ghost encounter, I'd probably be like, well, you know, I was tired that night and da-da-da-da-da-da. So I don't know if it actually helped me in any way. What about you, Roxy? If somebody was handing out a flyer and be like, ghost experience, yes or no, would you be like, yeah, sign me up?
I do. I'm like one of the most curious people on the planet. So I super duper, I'm always trying to figure out what is next, what happens. I'm also like deathly afraid of death. It for sure keeps me up at night. Yeah. And so knowing that there were ghosts would be so incredible, even if it meant that they were unwell, even if it meant that they were spiritually stuck here, even if it meant like the worst of the worst, because then at least I would know that there are things that take place.
Yeah.
Because the Jews for sure believe that like you are in the ground, you want to get back to the earth as much as possible, and you want to deteriorate your bodies as quickly as you can so that you can be one like dirt.
Yeah.
And that concept of like wanting maggots to get you as fast as possible makes me feel sick.
Yeah. I get you. I get it.
So I for sure would love to know there were ghosts. I just think that it feels unlikely to me. I want to say it's impossible, but nothing is impossible, I guess. But it feels unlikely to me that ghosts could exist and live in a free form way where they could access us, and it's only happened so few times comparatively to what it could happen, and in ways that like have not shifted the world yet, mm-hmm. that it just seems unlikely to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think like, you know, whenever you watch any of these ghost shows, they'll be like, they're making the sound. With what? All the mechanisms we have to make sound are part of the, like, again, because I'm open to the idea since consciousness is not necessarily something I feel like we've dialed in. What makes us operate differently than animals? What constitutes what we would say as a soul? All that stuff. I'm open to those questions. I do have a little bit of a hesitancy when we talk about like ghosts interacting with stuff. It's like, yeah, those mechanisms don't exist anymore. And I'm not saying, again, like you said, I'm not going to say it's impossible because you don't know what you don't know. But I do have questions.
Yeah. And like, you would think that in the thousands of years, they would have made it like abundantly clear they were here, unless they won't want to be found. And even that though, like spiders don't want to be found. We see them all the time.
Yeah, they're all over the damn place. So yeah, it is interesting. We have a question here from Brenda. Do you have a favorite ghost story/urban legend from when you were a kid?
So not just ghost story, but could be urban legend.
Yes.
My favorite one growing up was the story about the girl with the red ribbon around her neck. That was the one that flipped me out the most.
Tell me. I'm not familiar.
Essentially what happens is there's this girl. It was in this book that my mom used to read to me. That was like this creepy looking book. Mm-hmm. You know those books that just look creepy. It's
yes.
Like got the darker pages and like creaks when you open it, whatever. And one of the stories in there was about this woman with the red ribbon, and she had the red ribbon tied around her neck. And she was always asked about it by, you know, she has like kids and grandkids. And she's always like, you'll find out one day. And then she one day unties it, her head falls off.
Nice.
And I don't know why that stuck with me so much, but I was like, whoa, you never know what's going on.
Yeah, you never know what's under the moon.
And there was something like so creepy about it at the time that was the one that just kind of connected with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into that one. I think when you talk about urban legends, for some reason, I was really fascinated with the idea of, I was big into cryptid as a kid. So maybe not necessarily ghosts, but like the Jersey Devil, the Loch Ness mm-hmm. Monster.
Mm-hmm.
I found.
Well, yeah, I guess that's more urban legend stuff than what I said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that was more of what I was into as a kid. And so, like, one that stuck with me when I was a little bit older. I want to say it was a Richard Gere movie about, it was called The Mothman Prophecies or whatever. And so I went down that rabbit hole. That was at a point where like Discovery Channel, whenever one of these movies would come out, Discovery Channel would do a special as if it were real, which is really kind of like bad faith and kind of fucked up. Cause like we watched the Discovery Channel, not for this bullshit. We think you're actually giving us information. You don't give me a special on mermaids as if they found one when they didn't. Anyway,
I love mermaids.
The urban legend. Well, Discovery did a special, like it was a whole scripted, like Blair Witch type thing, as if somebody had found one. And it's like, yeah, but you're Discovery Channel. You're not fucking some dudes. And the Mothman is this weird one that kind of bridges aliens with this entity shows up called the Mothman that's supposed to show up before disasters. And some say he's a ghost, some say he's an alien. So that was a weird one that kind of bridged a bunch of interests. We've got one here from Joey, who would win in a fight, a ghost, a ghoul, a specter, an apparition, or a banshee. And I think, of course, a specter.
DJ, the way you said that, like it was fact of fact.
Yeah, it's a specter.
I think, of course, a specter.
Of course, a specter. Let's not, we don't even need to take the time to differentiate obviously, what those all. It's obviously a specter. Kayla Marie, if you were a ghost, who would you haunt? Oh, I thought that was, when I first pulled this one, I thought it was, where would you haunt? No, who would you haunt?
So I don't know. It just kind of depends on what happens when you're a ghost. Are you here because of unfinished business? So you're haunting somebody because you're fucking with them? Or are you trying to tell them something? You know, it just is so hard for me to say. Cause like when you hear the word haunt, you think you want to haunt somebody horrible. Like you want to go haunt like Trump or Bezos or somebody who like you really just feel like has not necessarily bettered the planet sometimes or whatever. But then when I think about like what it means to haunt, I really would want to like be talking to my sister and, you know, let them know that things are going to be okay or that there is something else. So I think it kind of just depends on what haunt means.
I think that's a really good point. I like that you took it to a better place than I did initially. Like, I think the right question is like, you haunt Bezos and you try to pull off like a Christmas Carol situation where you're like, hey, you son of a bitch.
And like, then all of a sudden, like he wakes up the next day and is like, I'm going to give $1 billion to world hunger. Like whatever it is. Cause like you could actually probably change something.
If he gave $1 billion to world hunger, he would still be the richest goddamn fucking person on the planet.
And would solve world hunger.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He could solve that son of a bitch, not to get off track, could solve world hunger, could buy the Amazon to keep it from being deforested, could probably, I think when people throw out numbers to quote unquote fix global warming, could probably do that. And he would still be a multi-billionaire.
But instead, DJ, how about he buys MGM?
Or he buys a yacht that needs a smaller yacht to tug it around or some bullshit like that. Yeah. That son of a fucking bitch, our system's fucked. Anyway, but that would be, I think, the correct answer. My initial response is 100% my wife. She's deathly afraid of ghosts. And so I would get, it'd be a win-win.
But are you fucking with her?
Yeah, a little bit, at least initially. You fuck with her and then you like, oh, things are good, don't worry. Like you said, like, hey, things are going to be better. But then every once in a while you fuck with her because you can, because you're a ghost.
Yeah, but DJ, like, I'm not trying to go there, but like, you die.
Yeah.
Your wife, if you die tomorrow, DJ, your wife's got a long life in front of her. Mm-hmm. Like if you're only allowed to haunt one person for the rest of your life, you're about to probably see some shit you don't want to see.
Listen, you're right. You're right. But that's the call I made.
Like 10 years from now, if she goes on her first date with somebody and you're haunting her, you're fucking up the dinner.
Yeah. And it will be hilarious to me.
At least then whenever she died, she would be like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. See.
Oh, you haunted me.
And Roxy, you know, we just stumbled across one of the best sitcoms that have never been made. We had Bewitched. We had Dream of Jeannie. Now it's Ghost Husband.
Yeah. Ghost Husband. Ghost Husband.
Oh, Ghost Husband. It might be better as a show if it was Ghost Wife. Feel like you having a ghost husband, you could get into some unsettling territory. Wife, less threatening.
Yeah, but you know what? Ghost wife's not going to care as much. Yeah. Ghost wife more loving. Ghost wife's like, honey, you do you. She's not going to fuck with you.
That's probably a good point. Yeah.
I know. You've got some things to pick out here.
Yeah, my wife is into the ghost stuff, and she also likes watching those murder shows. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked into like, and this is how the wife murdered her husband. And it's like, wait, hold on a second. I don't know how I feel about you watching these shows. Leonard Kim, am I wrong / crazy to question if our depictions of ghosts are accurate? What if we're completely misconceiving ghosts? I don't think you're wrong or crazy at all, because again, we don't know. So I was talking to a friend of mine. He's helping film a vampire movie. And so he was showing me some stuff, some footage from it. And you know, it's the classic, the mouth open up with the fangs and there's the hissing. And I was like, can we cut it out with the vampire hissing? Like, why are they always fucking hissing? And it's like, well, cause they did. And that's how we do stuff now. It's the same thing with ghosts. We've depicted them one way. And so now it's how we keep depicting them. It's become a trope, you know? And so it's like, who knows with ghosts, but also you got to think about, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Roxy. I tend to get down a rabbit hole of like, okay, well, if it was a thing, how would it work? Like what exactly are the mechanics that are going on?
So here's what I think, because I thought about this too. So, you know, like when you die, how you lose that like 2 pounds or whatever it is immediately.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that, but that sounds right. I mean, I know you shit yourself.
But no, but it's not that you like immediately lose weight, and that's what scientists refer to as your soul.
Oh, wow.
Because you're losing weight in a way that's unexplainable, even regardless of your like bodily functions, you're losing more weight. And that's where like the concept of the soul does meet science a little bit.
Interesting. Because it's
like, what is that? So I think that would, if that's a thing, mm-hmm. that's what the ghost is. I don't think the ghost really has like a form, maybe more of an energy, because like energy cannot be right. eliminate.
Yeah, matter cannot be created nor destroyed. Yeah.
Nor destroyed. Yeah. So maybe it's like a, I don't know. I think about this stuff all the time in terms of science, because I don't believe in not science. So it's gotta make sense scientifically.
Yeah.
And so what I know is there's shit we can't see.
Yeah.
So I don't think that I can picture what form this takes, because I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Yeah.
But there's probably, if you think there are ghosts, then they're in a form that is not visible to our naked eye. And we have not yet created a device that's made it so that we can see, if it even is a thing to see.
Yeah.
And then for sure, I don't think that they can speak, mm-hmm. because no device to do that.
Yeah.
So more like they can exchange.
Yeah.
But how, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's when you're talking about like when you're writing stuff, even something more supernatural, you have to have your own rules that you can abide by, so there's some cohesion, because the world operates by rules as well. So if you want people to believe into the world you're creating, and this is of course in the fiction, not in the reality of what ghosts are, but like, you know, a lot of times you'll be like, well, they, you know, they communicate with or move stuff with energy. And it's like, yeah, what is, when you say that, what does that mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? But I like you're associating with the lost 12 pounds and the idea. And cause you're right. They're actually, the light spectrum our eyes perceive is actually pretty narrow. We of course have technology that helps us with that now. But even again, we're operating on the limits of our own assumption, and not to like, I know it's played out in Marvel movies and stuff like that, but you know, magic is just science we don't understand yet. It's like, but yeah, I mean, there are rules, something that you run into that I can guarantee you there are things that we've run into that defy those rules, and there will be things in the future that we run into that defy those rules, because we don't know yet. You know what I mean? But once we're able to quantify that, there will be a way that it operates that we don't understand yet. And so figuring out, but to answer Leonard Kim's question, I don't think you're crazy, because again, we're talking about something that there's no way to quantify. And for the most part is stuff we've made, definitely in the movies and stuff, it's stuff we made up.
Do you think humans will ever know?
Ooh, I'm hoping humans are around for a long, 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 long time. So yeah, I hope so. I am. This might be silly. I am concerned that perhaps that we're dismissive of things in a way that would keep us from, you know, I've run into a lot of people that are like, well, if, you know, I don't believe it unless I see it. And it's like, yeah, but you can't see an atom. We all believe in, you know what I mean? Like, and it's different because it's quantifiable, but somebody had to do the effort to fucking figure that shit out.
Yeah. But I'm so one of those people.
Yeah. And it's one of those that like the limit, I keep thinking about, and I don't know if this applies, but I keep going back to, and I'm going to butcher this unfortunately, cause I don't have it in front of me, but I'm
excited for whatever the fuck,
for wherever we're going with this. No, I want to say it's there's a philosophical paper or argument called To Be a Bat. It's talking about how a human, cannot understand, what it's like to be a bat. What is it like to be a bat? Which is by Thomas Nagel, killing it right now. And it talks, and it's talking about how it's quote here from this article I just put, facts beyond the reach of human conception. Like, we can't hear like a bat hears, we can't see like a bat sees. And so while we can quantify those things through research and science, we'll never know what it's like to be a bat because our senses are fundamentally different. The way they perceive reality is fundamentally different. And I don't know if it's in this paper, but it connects to the idea that we are operating under the assumption that we have the tools to articulate what it is to be a human. And we might not, our brain might not actually be able to understand what the its own functions, its consciousness. We might actually be not have the tools available to really understand that. And there's no real way to know because there's no other. We haven't run into an alien species and be like, hey, how does your brain work? You know what I mean? Like, we just don't know. And again, it just goes back to that thing. You don't know what you don't know. And there might, and you make a good point, Roxy, we might not ever be able to quantify that. And it's, I think when you're getting, now we're getting into this stuff, it's like there are dealing with our own finiteness within the grand scheme of stuff. I've been watching these nature videos talking about like, sharks that live in the deep, like the deep, like bottom of the ocean. And it's like, well, this shark evolved 400 billion years ago. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because that means there's at least 400 billion years on the other side of me. And when you get into ghosts and spirituality and stuff like that, that's what you're dealing with. That's the time scale you're dealing with. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Cool.
As best as we can. It's so weird to think about how there's something you do not know that you don't might not ever know that your entire species might not ever know.
Yeah.
Even if we tried.
Well, it's the same thing with aliens. Like we look for alien life the way we understand life works, the way it evolved here. But it's a big universe. But
that I feel very confident at some point humans will know the answer to.
If we don't cook ourselves on this planet. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
That's a matter of time thing. Ghosts, we might not ever be able to.
Yeah, and maybe if we run into aliens, maybe they're like, yeah, we talk to ghosts all the time. It's no big thing. But again, when we come to looking for life, it's life as we understand it. And I don't think humans really have appreciation for how little we might actually understand.
Yeah.
All we know is it's almost like a global scale of like when you're a teenager and you're like, ooh, I got this shit on lock. And now as a 30, whatever year old, I can look back and be like, not only did I not have it on lock then, I sure as shit don't have it on lock now.
And probably will never have it on.
Probably will never ever. What's this?
Debating which question you want to ask.
Yeah. Let's jump to Danny. What is your favorite type of horror movie? We'll pull out of this and we'll go to some fun movie stuff. What is your favorite type of horror movie? Maybe name some examples of the subgenre.
Are you going to talk, DJ, or do you want me to?
I can talk. My favorite type of horror movie. What is my favorite type of horror movie? That's a good question. It's hard to pick. Danny, I know you're in the chat. I'm sorry. I'm going to cheat a little bit and not pick one, or maybe I'll talk myself to picking one. You know, there's good examples of all of them. I just said I like the Conjuring movies for the way that they, I think they escalate traditional exorcist type movies to like blockbuster levels, like going from horror to full on like summer event movie level. And I think they do that pretty well. I'm a big fan of the Universal monsters. So when you're talking about Dracula and vampires, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, I think there's a lot of merit in those. And I like slasher movies too. Favorite. Goddamn. What would be my favorite? I can tell you my favorite horror movie is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
You like creature. You definitely like a monster creature.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right, because I just talked about how I was into cryptids as a kid. It probably does like the monster stuff. I'm into monsters. So like even to the point of like Kaiju, Godzilla, King Kong, I'm into the monsters, and I don't think there's a better movie monster than John Carpenter's The Thing. And although the movie it's based off of, The Thing That Came From Outer Space, is also pretty good too. Although the monster in that is more of a Frankenstein type monster. What about you? One, are you? I don't know. We've talked. Are you like a horror movie? You like horror movies, right?
I've never met a genre of horror movie that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I love to feel. Mm-hmm. I'm just somebody who loves to feel, and scared is such a thing that I feel like we often feel the most in movies. Like I feel the happiest I ever feel is not watching a movie. Mm-hmm. The saddest I ever feel is not watching a movie, but sometimes the scaredest I ever feel like that is watching a movie. So I love that it can get that big reaction. Whatever you would call A Quiet Place's genre.
Yeah.
I love that, where it's kind of like smaller horror.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, like humanistic horror.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. I also like mystery. Mm-hmm. I love like big reveal horror. Sixth Sense being my favorite thriller. That's just like,
it's very good.
I love a holy shit moment that can make an entire movie for me. And so that. And then I really love horror comedy also. I know that's kind of cheating for this question.
I disagree. I love the Evil Dead movies. I'm all for horror comedy.
Horror comedy is great. Whether it's like a Zombieland kind of thing, or even like the what the hell is it called? Take My Strong Hand, Child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scary movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think horror comedy is some of the funniest stuff out there, and that still has those jump scares. So I really like, I like slasher films and I love monster movies. So yeah. I really like a lot of things, but probably like A Quiet Place being that, whatever that genre is, I love. Sixth Sense, whatever that genre is, I love. And then Scary Movie, whatever that genre is, I love. Those would be a few that are big for me.
Roxy, you might want to check out.
I answered the fuck out of that question.
I agree. And so you're talking about smaller, more personal horror stuff. You might want to check out a movie called House of the Devil. House of the Devil by Ty West, because that's a very self-contained, it's kind of like a take on the Satanic Panic type movies from the 1980s, but it's really stripped down and focused on basically a single character, and that's a movie I really like a lot. But
you know where it is?
I don't know where it is. Let me see if I can find it for you. But I am a huge proponent of the horror comedy.
Greta Gerwig's in it.
She is?
Is it in 2009, The House of the Devil?
Yeah, I forgot.
Fourth billed person in it, named Megan.
That must be before she became who she is at this point.
Yeah.
That's
wild.
Because she does not, if I recall correctly, does not. Oh, it's on Shudder. But you can rent it wherever. Anyway, horror comedy genre is one of my favorite genres, and it's so tricky to be able. And I think the Evil Dead movies do a really exceptional job, especially Evil Dead 2. Of finding this like weird place where like it's really funny but also genuinely unsettling and terrifying. I would also characterize Attack the Block, which is one of my favorite movies, as kind of, in some ways it's kind of a sci-fi adventure movie, but I would also characterize it as a horror comedy. And they're making a sequel to that. We never did that in news, and it's that was John Boyega. That was like his biggest movie until Star Wars, obviously. And so God bless him for going back, because I love Attack the Block. If anybody in the audience, if you haven't seen that. And also Danny M agrees. He also thinks you killed that question.
Oh, thanks, Danny M. I really tried.
Yeah. So I think you're right, Roxy. I think like the horror genre's ability to make you feel. Like, I went to, this wasn't a jump scare, but I still can go back to the way Hereditary made me feel in that one scene. A very, very visceral, visceral feeling that sits with me to this day. And even then, I also think about, I remember one of, I think we talked about this in our movie theater experience episode. I remember seeing The Witch in theaters at night. It was a late night showing, and there was these teenagers flitting between theaters. Like, just, they bought a ticket to one thing and they're just watching a bunch of things. And they were like chatting, and it was super annoying. But as the movie went on, they shut up. And then I remember when we were leaving, they're like, that movie was so good. And it's like, yeah, that's the power of a movie, that made teenagers shut the fuck up and watch. That movie of all movies made them shut up and actually watch it. Horror has a very specific, is very specific, powerful in that way. And I think comedy on the other end of the spectrum, is unique in its ability to make you feel things, which is maybe why when the two genres are put together well, it really works. But that, those are our thoughts. We solved it. We solved ghosts.
We solved the problem. Ghost hunters.
We should start. Have the World Girls tried finding ghosts? Have they gone ghost hunting?
We've been thinking about it. Darina and Steph are like true believers in scared shitless.
Mm-hmm.
Something about growing up Catholic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my wife grew up Catholic too. So yeah, probably.
So they're like really believe and really scared. So I keep saying things like, oh, there's this like hotel downtown that we should stay at because it's supposed to be full with all the ghosts and people die there and shit. And they're like, why would we do? And I'm like, cause the point is we try things. Scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're building to that. Cause they're legitimately like, that kind of stuff does not faze me. And they are like, so fucking scared, and I'm like, this is hysterical.
That's great. That's what great content is made of. I will say, just a final note on this stuff, I don't necessarily believe any of this, but I don't fuck with Ouija boards.
That's the other one that I've been trying to convince them to do, but they don't want to fuck with the Ouija board.
I don't fuck with Ouija boards. I don't. Again, if you asked me, I probably not. But I just feel like, you know, don't go poking around. But I would do the haunted house thing, because again, it's weird how the brain works. Like, oh yeah, stay at a haunted house, yeah, whatever. Ouija boards, I think I'm good.
That's interesting.
I think I'm good.
I think it's so funny because as we grow older, DJ, it's like, obviously ghosts are not the same thing as God, but it's the same thing concept for me. When you can't see it, you don't know that it exists. Yeah. So I'm always like very, very, if I cannot feel it, I don't know that it exists. So it's kind of like the equivalent of talking to somebody in church for me. But when I was a kid, people used to say to me if something was going on, like, oh, I'll pray for you. And as a kid, I remember being so offended by that and being like, I didn't ask you to pray for me. Don't pray for me. I don't want that. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, thank you so much, because I don't know.
Yeah.
So just by the off chance that somebody's up there, thank you so much. Please take care of that side of things for me, because I don't know. So when people say it now, I just remember, like, as we grow up, what I didn't think as a child, now I'm like, I still don't believe that. However, I don't know. So just in case. So that's kind of like the Ouija board theory, where it's like, you don't think it's real, but like, just in case.
Yeah, I don't think I'm
really trying to.
It's probably because, you know, when you hear about like the true story behind The Exorcist, and it's like, yeah, that's probably bullshit. But now it's so ingrained in my brain that it's like, you know, maybe not. I don't think. sorry, Milton Bradley or whoever makes that. But yeah. And I totally get as you get older, once you've realized other things you've been wrong about, you're like, well, then maybe, you know, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt me at all.
So, but possibly. Yeah.
You're not affecting me. So if it helps, go to town, you know? And then you get into like, maybe it's good vibes. Maybe it's manifesting. I don't fucking know. So whatever.
Just in case. Energy or whatever. Just in case.
So speaking of the World Girls and the fact that they're not going to a haunted house, where can they find you? What are the World Girls up to? What should people be on the lookout for?
Yeah, we just started building Lego Grogu. So
that was
fun. We also were very, very drunk trying to build Lego Grogu. So unclear on how he's turning out. I think we have a stomach. So
good start.
Comes in all sorts of ways. We brought on interns this semester, so they are making us try this thing called Kahoot. I feel very young and hip. I don't really understand how it works yet, but like, apparently we're quizzing a bunch of people on stuff. And then we did an LA Hollywood tour bus that's going to be dropping at the end of this month, where we were like full-blown touristy, went on this LA Hollywood tour bus that brought us around to all the celebrity houses and whatnot. It was really wild. and we may or may not have also been partaking in some. I mean, we're not driving, so, you know.
Exactly. You're on a bus.
And so that's a really fun one. That's coming to the end of the month. Thanks for asking, DJ.
Yeah. So, and your channel, just every day?
Every day. YouTube.com/RoxyStreyer. I'm live at the Roxy every day, except for some Saturdays I take off because human being.
Yes, I support that decision. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
If you want to watch this show live, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And again, please go to hellbentcomicbook.com. Sign up to the pre-launch page. The campaign, the Kickstarter launches on Tuesday, June 15th, 6:15. Please be there on day one. You're not going to want to miss out. We got some specific rewards that are only available during launch, and also some discounted reward tiers. So please go check that out, and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.